Good day, church. Happy Sabbath. It is so good that God has given us the health and the strength and the presence of mind to be in His church on the Sabbath day, isn't it? So many ways that He blesses us. And I want to say that I was blessed with Jean's playing today. She's doing better, isn't she? Hey? And I appreciate her so much. I appreciate you all. Appreciate our pastor. I love you. You know that? I do. And when things get a little bit rough and heavy, and we get busy, that's when I love it the most. You know, our scripture today was Genesis 1 and verses 1 and 2. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the sermon title that I have today is called Fixing. I love that word, especially since I came down south. And I've come to believe that that word has many, many meanings, and God inspired me with something today that I hope will inspire you, and just you'll be so happy by the end of this that, that'll be my goal today. Fixing. You see, the word fixing means many things. The first one is preparing. You know, when somebody's fixing breakfast, they're getting breakfast ready. When somebody's fixing to leave, they're getting ready to leave. And so on, and so on. The second meaning to the word fixing is repairing. Something is broken and it needs fixing. Isn't that right? And there's a third meaning to the word fixing. And that is putting something in a solid, secure place. You're fixing it in place. And when I use the word fix or fixing, or secure, securing, repairing, and you know, if I use those words, it's all the same word, isn't it? And in the beginning, God was fixing to do something, and God had to fix something at the same time. Something needed repairing. Go to Genesis 1 and 1. Let's read that. See what God was fixing to do here. Here's what God did. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, somebody said to me one time that that means that baseball was created before everything else because it was in the big inning that God created the heaven and the earth. I don't think that's the truth. But the second verse is very interesting because after God had created this heaven and earth, who knows how long it sat there, until it said the earth was formed and was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And literally that means that God was thinking about something. It says it brooded. God was brooding over the whole thing and thinking about something. And you know that John 1:1 says, in the beginning, God, what was it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. Now, what does that word mean? Well, it talks about logic, logos, forethought. God was doing some thinking. Something needed to be done here because there was something that needed fixing. Now, before in heaven, there was a rebellion, remember? There was a rebellion in heaven, and Satan, who was called Lucifer at the time, led one-third of the angels in rebellion against God. And that was a terrible thing. And you remember that the world, the earth was without form and void. And we're racing toward the time when that world will be the same as again. One of these days when Jesus comes back, the world will be without form and void again, and Mr. Devil and his angels will have something to think about for 1,000 years. The devil is going to be fixed. The Lord is preparing something good for you and I. And He always has been. Think of it. Jesus came to the world, and He was heralded by John the Baptist. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus to come. And he told us to prepare the way of the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Through the whole thing, from Genesis to Revelation, God is preparing, repairing, and securing for us a wonderful future. And in midst of all the things that have happened from that time to this and shall happen, God has got it all under control. Now, sometimes it doesn't feel like God has much under control because the world is going to hell in a handbasket, as they say. It is getting worse and worse, but as it gets worse and worse, what God tells us to do is to look up, for your redemption draws nigh. We have an exciting prospect ahead of us. As things get worse, God is fixing to come. And God is fixing us so that He can come. And we are preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord. And as we set ourselves into a secure position of doctrine and faith, when we settle upon what we are going to believe and how we are going to get this message out to the world, and as we have the remedy for the ills of the world, and that is Jesus Christ and Him only, because He has fixed it. When He was in the temple. No, in the synagogue. In Luke 4. Go to Luke 4. Let's go there. And let's read something that Jesus did. See, all the time that Jesus was on earth, He was here for a purpose. Preparing, repairing, and securing. Luke 4. And verses 18 and 19. Go back to 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus had a mission. He was coming here to prepare something, and that was us. He came to fix us. Whatever it is that's wrong with mankind, whatever wrong with you or I, whatever sicknesses, diseases, ills, or discomforts that we have, problems, Jesus is the answer. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to fix, to secure, to prepare, to repair. All through the Bible, in the time of Noah, God knew that wickedness was so great that He was going to have to destroy the world in order to fix it again. And out of all the souls that were alive in the time of Noah, as Noah prepared an ark, God prepared Noah and his family. And he preached for 120 years and provided salvation. God provided salvation for 8 souls. And he started all over again. And as Moses, when he got started, he made a few mistakes. For instance, he knew he was supposed to deliver Israel from oppression, but he thought it was by force, that he was going to be kind of a forceful leader, and he was going to take charge and deliver his people that way. And so what did God do to fix Moses? How did He fix him? He made him go and look after sheep for 40 years. because Noah needed, or Moses needed some help. And he got the help he needed, and he went ahead and he did what God commissioned him to do. But Jesus came for a great reason, and it's all foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Everything that happened to Noah, happened to Moses, happened to Abraham, happened to David, all the patriarchs and prophets and kings, they were foreshadows of what was to come. God was preparing a people for a glorious future, a marvelous eternity. In John chapter 14, you want to go there? John chapter 14. And I love this because this is the crux of the matter. It was the Last Supper. And Jesus was fixing to leave. And he was preparing or fixing his disciples for that leaving, getting them ready because Jesus was leaving. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to fix a place for you." Well, prepare a place for you. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know." God has a wonderful future in store for us. Jesus promised. And is there an example for us to follow here? Now listen to this. What God has done, is doing, and will do is what the Bible is all about. What God has done, is doing, and will do. If we bear in mind that it's all for us. And here is a sin I want you to avoid. There is a tendency for us to sin in this way. And that's, we want to avoid doubt and fear, distraction and inaction. These are things that we must avoid, because if we have doubt and fear, it gets in the way of success. And distraction. Have you ever seen so many distractions in all your life than what we have in the world today? How the devil is popping up like on a computer when you want to do something and you're working away and these pop-ups come up. Hey, look at me, look at me. And the devil wants to distract you from the goal that we have of preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord, and preparing each other for the coming of the Lord, and preparing our hearts to receive a double portion of the Holy Spirit, and preparing and getting our lives fixed, because we got so many problems that need fixing. Drug addiction. Addiction to all kinds of things that are not good for us. Overindulgence in food and sexual addictions, and wars, and crime, and violence, and divorce, and all the different things that are a result of us getting distracted and not doing the things we should do. Because the devil is a distractor. If Eve had not been distracted, she would have been all right, and we would have been all right. But she turned aside to look and listen. And we have results today. But Jesus has given us a command to follow, and this is it. Follow me. Because the answer lies in Jesus Christ. If we walk as close as we can to Jesus Christ, our problems will take care of themselves. That doesn't mean you won't have problems, but when they come along, you've got Jesus to help you solve them, and to solve them, and to heal them, and to make them better, and to give you the right attitude towards them. See, because we are saved by an attitude, and that's called faith. And if we can keep our faith steadfast, fixed on Jesus Christ and in His Word, then happy are we. success, and a successful Christian is made that way if they concentrate and live for Christ and Christ alone. So, is there a promise that we can claim here? Yes, there is. Read them in Revelation. To him that overcometh shall be granted many, many, many promises. Claim them for yourself. Believe them. Believe those blessings, those beatitudes. Read them through. Claim them for yourself. Read the Bible and make it personally apply to you. And if you will, then you will not be distracted by the things of the world. Now, is there a difficulty for us to explore here? What's the problem? What's holding me back from doing God's perfect will? Think about that. What's holding you back? God is preparing a place for us. He is preparing and repairing us. He's given us the tools and the weapons to fight spiritual warfare against an invisible enemy who can overpower any one of us at any time if we let down our guard. And so many are letting down their guard, and so many are becoming distracted by the things of the world, and so many things get into our lives that we get our eyes off the goal. As we are walking towards that heavenly city, we are not to be distracted by the things along the wayside. Now, if you see somebody falling by the way, help them up. Don't be like the priest and the Levite who were not concerned about those round about them. Be concerned about those round about you. Do not be engulfed in the sins of the world and the distractions of the world, but help and love your fellow man and help people find this wonderful truth that we have in Jesus Christ. What does these passages in the Bible, what do these scriptures, what do these words in here teach us about God the Father and Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit? What does it teach us? Well, God the Father, Jesus Christ, have been preparing all creation for all eternity. From the beginning, all the middle, and right through the Revelation, God is preparing for us a great and glorious future. And it begins and ends with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and Omega. And what Jesus began, he is able to accomplish. If we will put our hands in the hands of Christ, if we will put our lives and entrust them to God, if we will do his words and his commands because we love him, then we will be successful and happy Christians. Then people will begin to look at us and see the fruit produced in our lives and say, I want to be like that person. Where does he go to church? See, a lot of people think of church as a place to be entertained. And the churches with the best entertainment have the most members. And where you lose it is where the idea of church is where you get fixed. You're prepared, you're repaired, and you're secured in an eternal future with God. This is what church is all about. This is what Christianity is all about. This is what being a Christian is all about. Helping one another succeed and prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ. So what is the main truth in all this? All that God has, is, and will do is for our good and for his glory. And all scriptures shed light on it. All scripture is light. Now, is there something that we should pray about today? Well, that would be that God would help me, help us, help all of us take advantage of all his promises. If you take advantage of God's promises, believe them and put them and apply them to your life and heart, you will be fixed. If you want to be secure, if you want to have a sense of security, then you've got to fix your hope in Christ. He is preparing, he is repairing, And he is securing us for a joyful eternity of immortality with him. The idea here is, and I'm going to say it again, God is preparing a place for us. God is preparing and repairing us. He was repairing and is repairing something that is broken. Now, what was broken? What is broken in your life? What do you lack? What do you need? Jesus is the answer. Jesus has exactly what you need, and he'll meet you right where you are at your level. Because that is why he sent the Holy Spirit. That is why they call the Holy Spirit the Comforter. Because the knowledge that Jesus is holding us in his hand. And no one is able to pluck us out of his hand if we put ourselves there. If we stay there, then we can stand against all the distractions and all the wiles of the devil, and the devil hasn't got a prayer. For the gates of hell shall not prevail against that kind of a church. If we will avail ourselves of all the goodness and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then we will say when our life is over, or when Jesus appears, it is finished. It's fixed. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you are the one in charge of everything going on today. That you have been preparing a special place for us, and that we need not be troubled or distressed or in fear. That our hope is secure, that it is fixed in a secure place, that where our heart is, there we are too. Lord, we are citizens of the New Jerusalem. We are ambassadors and wanderers and pilgrims on this earth. It's the journey we're on, Lord, but we know where we're going. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you are the beginning and the end and all that is in the middle. So we trust you, Lord. And my prayer right now, Lord, is that if there's anybody here that has not fully trusted you for their salvation and for their everlasting future, that they would make that choice now. That they would say, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. Yes, Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner and in need of a Savior. Please, Lord, forgive me, and I will go and try to make things right with those round about me. I want to live for you. I want to be your child. I want to be a successful Christian. I want to be like you, Lord. Help me to be a blessing wherever I go. Help me to be the best that I can be. And Lord, even so, come and come quickly, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's sing that wonderful song.